Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, Busted Open Nation, here on a Saturday. It's time for the Busted Open Podcast Edition. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell, joined as always by the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. We got a stacked show per usual here on this Saturday. It wouldn't be a Saturday show, of course, without Weekly Winner, where we give you our best show in the week that was in professional wrestling. And this week was no exception. Truly a great week in professional wrestling, from Monday Night Raw to Impact to NXT, AEW, and a really great Friday Night SmackDown show. The running is close. And, well, it's anyone's guess who is going to get Weekly Winner. Well, we know, but you don't know, so that's why you got to listen, right? So, as we talk about SmackDown, this is obviously a Saturday show. Plenty more to get to on the Saturday docket as we recap Friday night SmackDown, including the continuing relationship between Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. Roman taking on some very Lesnar-like qualities. You'll hear the world's strongest man's thoughts on that in this episode. And finally, we're going to end the show talking a little Bayley and Sasha. Yeah, that's right. Bayley continuing her role as truly one of the best heels in the company, calls out her former friend. Thankfully, her former friend, there were some concerns out there in the Busted Open Nation. Yeah, thankfully, Sasha Banks not showing up on SmackDown last night. So she is somewhere to be found. Don't know when exactly she's going to get back, but we asked the world's strongest man where to give us his best prediction when we can expect to see the boss back. So you got Bayley, you got Banks, you got Reigns, you got Heyman, you got Weekly Winner, you got Busted Open on a Saturday. Sit back, relax, click play. Let's get it going. Friday Night SmackDown airing last night. Roman Reigns has returned. Big reason why I feel like that show is really catching some legs and gaining some momentum, right? Or catching its legs and gaining some momentum. Roman, we got another window, Mark, into where maybe his character is going. I said before break, he's drawing some Brock Lesnar comparisons, and I'm not really talking about Heyman. Yes, Heyman is there, so you're going to get those comparisons, right? Because that's the last man that we saw Heyman with and in control of. But I'm talking about the psychology now behind Roman Reigns and the way he now is being developed as a character. And we saw it last night. We saw it at Payback. Right? Roman Reigns is essentially doing the Brock Lesnar gimmick where I'm not showing up often, but when I do, I'm going to beat the shit out of absolutely everybody. And you might hate me for it, but you got to respect it, right? Roman Reigns now, Mark, we saw it last night in the tag match that ended SmackDown. Roman Reigns teaming up with Zeus, teaming up with his cousin, Jay, right? But he doesn't show up until the very end of the match. He's putting down cleanup duty. It's a new wrinkle to the Roman Reigns character.
Yeah, but you know what, man? That shit is playing really thin with me. I mean, it's like if you're going to be in a tag match, like go to the introductions. If you want heat, then come down an entrance just like that and then go and tell Jay, this is your opportunity to prove to me you could do this. And him go sit at the announce table and sit there. They're asking him questions and he's looking them off like, very smug. And then when it gets down to the nut cutting, and rather than have an entrance right there, then you have him go and steal it with the tag. And then you go and I would have done it differently. I like the way it was done, but yeah. I thought that there was a better way to do it because you had him already there so people could see him. Oh man. It's like, Jaws. You remember the movie Jaws? And you get this big giant monster shark and you see somebody in the water. And they're in the water. And here comes the shark. If the shark immediately just goes and it swallows the person, nobody cares. But if the shark is getting closer and the person doesn't see the shark, and then the shark pivots and starts to circle, then the person sees the shark, but they're still worried about, now I got to get to the boat, and they're swimming to the boat, and you create the drama by the monster being there. That's what was missing last night, because I enjoy watching Jay fight both those guys off, but I still wanted the shark there. I wanted Baron Corbin to be able to look back at the announce table thinking any minute that Roman might come and do something to him. I wanted the clothesline out over the top right in front of the announce table with, you know, Sheamus clotheslining Jay out over the top and Roman being right there and Sheamus looking down and looking at him going, whoa, wait a minute. Let me get him back in the ring. I'm never going to take my eyes off Roman until I'm back in the ring. Like, that was something that was needed last night.
So where do you think the story is right now? What do you think the story they're trying to tell is with Roman being behind the scenes? Obviously, Heyman being the advisor. It plays like to me that this is Heyman. I know Heyman came out last week and said, you know, or whatever it was 2 weeks ago, most people think I'm corrupting Roman Reigns, but trust, he's the one that is corrupting me, which I like that little wrinkle. I like the way that rang, and I like the way that it stood with me. But the truth is Paul Heyman is the ultimate corrupter, right? He is Paul E. We know the history of Paul Heyman. He's a slimy character, right? So it would stand a reason that he's influencing Roman Reigns' actions, that he is being the advocate, that he's telling him not to come down. So again, I guess I'll ask you, where's the wrinkle and what do you think the story is that they're trying to tell as of right now? Because Mark, well, I think we could see what you're describing next week or the week after. I think we're building to what you're talking about.
Well, currently right now, the story they're trying to tell is we talked about this last week, is him being the Don. Him being the mob boss and pulling the strings and manipulating the situation. But what I saw last night was him basically, you know, stealing from his cousin after his cousin set the table, cooked the food, sat down, put the napkin on his lap, grabbed his knife and fork. And then Roman comes and snatches the meat off his plate and just eats it and walks off. That's what happened last night. And it left him like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do that? I mean, like, we're family. Like, and you create this turmoil where Roman is trying to prove to everybody else that, listen, I call the shots. I do what I want, when I want, and how I want. And you're going to fall in line or you're going to get consumed. And Roman had the one thing that he has not done yet is what I was suggesting last week when we were at this juncture is Roman beat his cousin within an inch of his life. And all of the family comes down and says, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Like, y'all were raised together. You slept under the same roof. You ate under the same table. We raised you all the same. Why are you acting like this? And him denouncing himself from his family and him being the potential is there. Everything is there. The table is already set for that. And I think last night was the first installment of that because he stole from his family and then wouldn't even look him in the face. Like, he came down to the ring, did a slide tag, speared, got the win, and just, you know, and then he forced him. And at the end, you know, like, Jay was like, all right, well, you know, shit, it is what it is. We won. He tried to raise Roman's hand. Roman is looking at him like, wait a minute, you're looking at my title? Why are you? I know you didn't just pick my title up. Like, and there was that turmoil between him and his cousin. And as much as we look at it like, oh, this is Jey Uso, we're not looking at it like it's just a Jey Uso. We're going, hey, they're family. It's programmed into us. And that's what we see as that negative and antagonistic thing that Roman is doing.
Well, you know, it's like you read my mind, because my next question to you was going to be, you know, where do you think this is headed, right? Because I think what you said is a great possibility, right? Roman Reigns bucks the family. He takes on everybody, does some, you know, really shady things that, you know, builds this heel character. I think that would logically make sense, because it's a slow build to that, right? We're not getting that right out of the gate. There's hints of it. There's tinges of it, right? But I could also see a scenario where Roman breaks down his family, right? Where he gets them on his side, specifically the Usos, to where he convinces them that they're lesser, that they haven't achieved their full potential, right? And that they stable up, that they actually join forces, and Roman kind of brainwashes him like a cult leader, right? Like a cult leader of that particular section of the family. And then maybe, as we talked about last week, a certain Dwayne The Rock Johnson comes in to try to break them of that spell and save the family. Like a battle of the family.
I see it on both ways. I see it that side, and him saying, listen, you've had every opportunity to be great. You've been a tag champion, but you've never been a world champion.
All right.
I'm here to help you. If you listen to me, you will have an opportunity to be one of the best wrestlers in this company, but you're going to have to follow. I'm the leader.
Right.
And kind of browbeat him. I could see that. I could definitely see it.
When it's time to go to the track.
To the track.
Yeah.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio's
got you covered.
Here we go.
Tune in to Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, or listen on the phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app. We're back on the track
Saturday
at 6:30 p.m. Eastern
with NASCAR Cup Series Racing.
Everything's happening so fast.
It's the Federated Auto Parts 400
from Richmond Raceway.
You gotta go take it
on Sirius XM.
On Sirius
XM
NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Very, very, very well done.
Mark, kind of said it as we went off the break, and we've been saying it now for a little while on this show. When Bayley debuted that heel character almost about a year ago with the debut of the Fox show on Friday Night SmackDown, that's right, we've really been dealing with this this Bayley and Sasha relationship and whatever incarnation it is now that we've been watching. It's been a year. It's been a year. And last night, you heard the audio, Mark, Bayley taking another step to the dark side, right? Now, it feels like a culmination of a story being told. Bayley is in full heel mode. I don't know what's to come, but what I do know, Mark, is the gloves are off, and there is no one on the side of Bayley anymore. There's no more Banks. There's no more anybody. It's Bayley versus the world, and she is owning that spotlight. I mean, she is doing some of the best heel work in the company, and that is something a year ago, Mark, if you would have told me that would be happening, I would have put my job on the line. I would have told you there was no possible conceivable way that we would be sitting here a year later with Bayley doing some of the best deal work in the company. Just a testament to her professionalism and the talent that she is, man. So what did you think about the promo last night? And what do you think about this evolving character that we're seeing with Bayley and the fact that, you know, she is solo now? There's no help coming. It's Bayley versus the world.
Well, I think it's great from a heel perspective. Now you get the heel that's allowed to do the singular things that get heat, not just, you know, using other people to get
right.
heat. And I always like seeing a Ted DiBiase, you know, a Mr. Perfect, you know, like if you go into the if you go into this modern era of heels. Watching somebody like a Jericho or watching somebody like a AJ Styles manufacture heat from a singular point. It's easier to do that when you got help, but it's more effective when you do it by yourself. And I think that before, I guess it was Charlotte that pretty much started it and put the heat on, put the heat on Sasha and Bayley, pitting them against each other. It was, yeah, it was Charlotte.
It was,
and
yeah.
Now you have those two women pitted against each other. Finally, finally, it's all come out. Are you going to be her minion? Are you, you know, and all of that went on. Bayley was not ready to have that kind of heat back then. Now she is. And she's owned it. And she's gotten so good just in a matter of about 6 months. I can't wait to see what kind of heat she's going to be able to develop on her own in these next 6 months.
Yeah, it's one of those stories, Mark, specifically with me, where it's been great and I've enjoyed watching it. But it is, I do wonder how much better or what it would be like, I guess, with the fans. But that's not, it's not something we can focus on. But I would like to see, you know, what that response would be like, because she is really laying into it. She's really finding her groove, and it's really hitting on all cylinders. And I'm excited to see what is in store for the future, because we talked about it last week on the show, Mark. You know, if you can make this run to WrestleMania, that is definitely something that I would be interested in. I guess the hiccup, or what's kind of refraining me from being all in on that, is it's a long way away to WrestleMania. And that's something that LaGreca hit on yesterday. He's like, yeah, if they can make it compelling until WrestleMania, I'm all for it. I don't know if they can make it compelling all the way to WrestleMania. I will say this, if anyone can, it's Sasha and Bayley. So I'm going to enjoy watching it unfold. As we bring up Sasha, I do have to make a note about last night and something that I was glad that we saw, and something that you guys were, I don't want to say concerned with, but definitely something you touched on yesterday. And that was, hey, I hope and pray that Sasha isn't on television tonight when you were talking yesterday morning. So thankfully, if you guys watched and if you didn't, I'm here to tell you, Sasha Banks was not on television last night. Thankfully, after the beatdown, we're getting a proper break in between Sasha on television, and that was obviously the right move.
You know, I love to see her not even be involved in this pay-per-view.
Yeah, 100%.
I like to see her be gone, you know, and then come back and go, hey, yeah. I had some medical issues that needed to be taken care of. I'm not out of the woods yet, but when I do come back, Bayley, your days are numbered. And Bayley coming out of the bushes and just beating her ass again. I mean, really dropping the hammer on her. And the next time we see Sasha, it should be during the holidays sometime, one of the pay-per-views during that time. And it's not just the Sasha that we see right now. Not the blue-haired Sasha.
Right.
But back to the red, pink, haired Sasha, the one that we saw against Ronda Rousey. Though not her trying to be the baby face and, you know, get the respect and admiration of the fans, the adulation of the fans, of the crowd. But I want her to feel pain. She said that I wasn't her friend. Let me show you. Is this a friend? And have her show videos of her helping. You wouldn't have that title if it wasn't for me. You talked about you helping me be two bells bang. You held me back, and then show it. Show it.
Right.
You didn't want me to be champ. I could have been champion right there, and you wouldn't allow it. Because and just really paint the picture. It's like, you wasn't a friend. You used me. You were right. You used me. And I'm not even mad that you used me, because you know what? I would have probably done the same thing.
And now I know where we stand. Yeah.
I know where we stand now.
Yeah.
And it's hell to pay. and you're going to pay it with blood. Like, really let her go in. Like, it's going to be great, man. It'll last. It'll last, Germania.
I hope it does. And I forget the caller that chimed in yesterday that said, you know, let's keep Banks off TV until Rumble. That's not happening. Number one, the beatdown didn't warrant a gap between Rumble. But number two, we're in a pandemic and the roster is what it is. I mean, it's good, but you need all the pieces you can get. And Sasha Banks, I don't think.
But what about at the Rumble? Like, she needs to take a couple of she needs to try to get Bayley, and Bayley won't face her.
Right, Bayley Survivor Series. I think the first serious matchup we get is the Survivor Series, right?
Right.
And then and I think if you are going to
I don't want to touch. I don't want to touch. We're in the ring together, but I don't want to touch. And finally you get to past Survivor Series and you're like, look, you can't dodge me forever. You can't dodge me forever. I'm right here.
Yep.
And she starts taking matches from anybody. Extras, extra talent. She starts having matches with people that's, you know, the current Indies champion, something, anybody. Just make it up.
Which I like that idea as well. I think that's the way you can go. And also, then when you have the series mark, then you have Rumble as a jumping off point to tell a different story, add a wrinkle into the feud. And who knows what you can do with the Rumble, because it is my favorite event for that reason. All the swerves and all the mystery and all the pomp and circumstance that goes into the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, now you win the Rumble and you force them to face you.
Exactly.
And now it's all good. It's a perfect world in pro wrestling.
Well, speaking of being in a perfect world in pro wrestling, I don't know if it's a perfect world in Alexa Bliss's head. We'll stay on the ladies.
Mark,
we got another wrinkle last night. First of all, should mention Nikki Cross gets the pin over Tamina in that fatal four-way. Nikki Cross will now be next in line for Bayley at the Clash of Champions pay-per-view, which is being tagged Gold Rush. Now, that's a nice note, right? Hey, Nikki Cross. Mark, I know you love Nikki. We've talked about Nikki on this show with plenty of regularity, but that wasn't the takeaway from that Fatal 4-Way match. The takeaway from that match was Alexa Bliss, as previously mentioned, taking a wrinkle in her character and hitting Nikki Cross on the outside with Sister Abigail. So, Mark, this is something that we've been talking about now for a minute. It looks like Alexa Bliss is teetering towards the dark side, right? She was abducted by the Fiend, whatever it was, over a month ago. And it looks like that influence is still there. Mark, I'm here for it. I want it to happen. I talked about Friday Night SmackDown, every character having a purpose, and every, you know, it's not necessarily that the payoff is always there, but it leaves me wanting to see what's coming around in 7 days. I will be tuned in next Friday. And Mark, I will definitely be tuned into Alexa Bliss because she has me. She has me. This has been a slow build. It's been a proper build with a little bit of Easter eggs, and you get rewarded for paying attention. It's a cohesive story. It's not disjointed. And at the end of the day, no matter what Alexa Bliss does, I don't care. She has my full support and faith. Anything that she does is great because she's great. I can't wait to see what Goth Bliss or wherever this is headed, whatever she ends up looking like, because she's going to kill it.
You said Goth Bliss?
Yes, let's go.
I tell you, man, like her doing the Sister Abigail popped me, because I'm such a mark for watching people do stuff that you don't expect to happen.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that. I was standing there going, wow, man, Nikki Cross, that's awesome. And wow, we go there? Really? Man, all right, I see what y'all doing. Like, they got me. So, I mean, and here we are talking about it. So it was effective. And I think that's something that's got legs.
Oh, it definitely does. I mean, Bray Wyatt, you know, unto himself, and we can talk about the Firefly Funhouse and Wobbly Walrus. We'll hit that when we come back. There's plenty that you can do with Bray Wyatt. He's an interesting character. The Fiend is interesting. He can go a lot of places, and he doesn't need a title, right? You throw Alexa Bliss into that, cauldron, if you will, right? You throw her into that sort of equation and where she could go and the feeding off of one another, because both of those talents, Mark, right? The Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss, two of the best on a microphone in the entire company. I can't wait to see what that dynamic starts evolving to. Because I think there's a, I mean, you said there's a lot of legs. There is, but there's so much energy and there's so much intrigue with those two and the magic that they can create on a mic. I can't wait to see where it goes.
Well, I mean, it obviously points to Braun Strowman. And, you know, having Braun Strowman involved in something pays dividends for the company, for the brand. You have a major player that's, you know, going to be occupied by Bray Wyatt and by The Fiend. And now, regardless of how good Braun Strowman does, Alexa can always be a game changer for whatever happens with that saga. So, I mean, we got a lot to look forward to. And it looks to me that the most intriguing things that's coming down the pike in pro wrestling is happening on SmackDown.
History is happening.
20 years from now, this is going to be the most talked about championship of all time.
And the history books are being written on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Every big shot in the NBA playoffs.
Bang! Luka Doncic just won it for the Mavericks.
Every twist and turn in the bubble.
LeBron is not going to win a title if Anthony Davis is not playing at a high level.
Don't miss a moment of the 2020 NBA playoffs. With games every night on your 24/7 home for hoops. Sirius 207 XM 86.
Let's get into weekly winner. Mark, I would like to just, I mean, listen, it was a great week in professional wrestling, but I just feel I'm hoping maybe you're going to swerve me. Maybe you're going to take me in a different direction, but I just planned on coming here on this Saturday and just like NXT. Like, are we just going to agree that NXT is the weekly winner and can we move on? Can we just save the pomp and circumstance and the explanation and the going through each show? And can we just come out and say NXT was the best damn show? Because the way that show began with the title match between Finn Balor and Adam Cole going a half an hour, and not just the great match that it was, but everything that came after and the wrinkle that it showed with Adam Cole's character looking like maybe not a complete heel now, maybe there's a turn happening with Adam Cole. I'm not sure. But then the main event between Martinez and Rhea Ripley. I'm going to save the pomp and circumstance and the explanation. I thought NXT was the best show of the week. In a week that was stacked with really good professional wrestling, I thought it stood above the fray.
You know what? It was great, like you said. It was a great week. Even if you consider Saturday, you know, you can't really say Saturday was a part of that. That was last week. But Saturday was really good, man. Like, it was really good. I was entertained
talking
all
about
the way through.
Talking about AEW All Out.
Yeah, man. I was really happy with it. And then you come into Monday and all of the stuff that we got on Monday, which, you know, it's... Wow. A lot of star power.
Yeah.
I don't think that everybody was used effectively, but... The way that that show flowed and the way that it ended and how, like, to have Jey Uso be put in a main event capacity in one night without any other buildup was pretty damn impressive, the way that they orchestrated that. And then you go on Tuesday and you have... what I thought was the best match of the whole pandemic. And then come to find out that was not even the best match on the show. You mean
I was like, wait,
tell
where is it going
me with that?
Yeah.
That Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martinez come out in a cage match.
Dude.
After watching what I thought was one of the most balanced, well-played individual matches of the year.
Yep.
and you top that. How in the hell did that happen? How? I still don't. And there were things in the middle. Like, I love Bronson Reed. The whole show was pretty damn impressive. And I think that one of the things that we miss a lot is Swerve Scott. I think Swerve Scott is somebody that the dude need more TV time. He needs more time. And the things that what happened with Velveteen, I thought that was entertaining as hell too. It was just like really, really balanced. And it had like a really strong, strong beginning and then a really strong, strong end. The bookends, everything in between looked kind of like average, but it was because of the gravity of what happened at the beginning and the gravity that happened at the end. It just smashed everything in the middle as good as that was. And then Wednesday... Oh my gosh. Like I'm slowly becoming a Jericho-holic. Like I think that Jericho is we all know how great Jericho is.
Yeah.
And his performances are getting to the point now to where that's what I look forward to on the show. That's one guy. With all the stuff that happens with Orange Cassidy, with all the stuff that happens, and what a great main event, too, by the way. Dustin and who I think Brody Lee is one of the better workers in pro wrestling, period.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I'd agree. Yeah.
When it comes to work in the ring, it's hardly anybody better. And that match was really, really impressive and emotional, and you could feel for Goldust.
Yeah,
it was that wrestling emotion. What a great show! But I'm gonna tell you, the only thing that I look forward to in my week, as football came up, and we'll talk about that more in the Mimosa Minute. Was seeing Jericho, whether at the announce table, whether doing a promo, whether in a wrestling match. But Jericho and Swagger in the ring, like some of the stuff that happened with Sonny Kiss, like, you know, Sonny is a hell of a worker, man. Like, Sonny is growing on me. And at one point, we're watching the match, and I told Jacob, I said, oh, my God, Jack Swagger just hit Sonny Kiss from behind. And Jacob said, Dad, do you hear what you just said? And I was like, oh, my God, like, I've created a monster, Ryan.
Look what you've done. I have created a monster. First of all, let me just say something. You said you created a monster. We got our fantasy football. Not to break too far from Weekly Winner. We got our fantasy football league obviously kicking off this weekend, like so many of you out there listening in nation land, if you will, right? My first matchup is against Jacob Henry, the world's strongest man's son over there, right? I was getting ready to come on the air today. This directly ties into Mark creating a monster. I was getting ready to come on the air today and throw some heat at Jacob, right? 14 years old. He was talking crap to me. He's got Travis Kelce on his team. He's like, I'm not done. You know, he was getting lippy on the text chain, right? And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to throw some heat at Jacob. And then we had a conversation yesterday and you informed me because I thought I was watching him grow on social media and I saw him a little bit on the webcam over the last year or so. Mark, in the last year, your son has reached a level of like adulthood that I just don't know how it happens within a year. You told me yesterday now that Jacob is like 6'1", 260 pounds. Mark, I'm 260 pounds and I'm like 5'10". Your kid is infinitely bigger than I am and he's 14 years old. You have created a monster.
Not only have I physically created a monster, he has taken on my sense of humor. He's taking on the, like you can hear from the chats, on the fantasy chats, that he is lippy. He's
little
glib.
Little, yeah.
And I digress. We'll talk about Jacob another time.
Yeah.
But like going forward with what happened in the show, I just, man, AEW is them putting Miro out. Like, I was overly excited. And I have another tease. Do not miss Monday's show. Do not miss Monday's show. And I'm going to just leave it right there.
You talking about Busted Open?
Busted Open on Monday. Right. Do not miss it. That being said, I love the fact that NXT and AEW are on different nights, guys.
Yes, yes.
People might be like, oh, well, I don't care about the war. I really don't. I think that the winner is us, because I found myself on Wednesday watching one live and then watching the other show afterwards, half falling asleep.
Yep.
Tired and not being into 6 hours of pro wrestling with the commercials and everything. It's like going to WrestleMania and watching 7 hours of wrestling. It's hard. So that being said, you get to Friday. And what we got yesterday was a really balanced, really, really good show from beginning to end, with so much quality in it that it made me question whether or not it was good enough to make me question whether or not should it be number one. And for that reason, close is no cigar. If you're not first,
you're last.
You're last. And I have to say that NXT is the weekly winner.
Yeah.
It was really cool that SmackDown was able to get in the conversation, because, like I said, the gravity, when you say gravity, when you put gravity with something, that means that it's like a planet. It has its own gravitational pull, and it pulled all the wrestling fans towards it. And then all of a sudden, Mercedes Martinez and Rhea Ripley come, and you got two planets. And now you're stuck in the middle, and the planets were pulling towards each other and just crushing Raw, AEW, SmackDown. It just destroyed everything. NXT had two really good matches, guys. If you did not get a chance this week to watch NXT, go on to some go on YouTube or somewhere and find it in its entirety, because I'm going to tell you, it was a great show. It was really, really good show.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.